This is Get a Real Job, the podcast devoted to people who choose risk over safe bets, who pursue their passion against all odds and are doing what they want, how they want, despite people and sometimes the voices in their own heads telling them they're nuts.
When the field that I wanted to work in didn't exist, I created it.
The only thing you have to decide is how hard do you want to work.
I really never went into the design of the restaurant of not succeeding. One way or another, I was going to succeed.
I'm your host, Dan Bova, editorial director of Entrepreneur.com. Thanks for listening. And now, get a real job. Hey, everyone. So it would take a very, very, very long time to list all of the things you know today's guests from. So I'll just list a couple. Knives Out, Inception, The Dark Knight Rises, 500 Days of Summer, Don John, Third Rock from the Sun, you know, obscure projects like that. And now, in the face of the crisis that the entire world is facing, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is inviting people from around the globe to come together and create art and show off their creativity in a 6-episode miniseries called Create Together. Please welcome Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Hey, how are you? That was quite an intro. Thank you.
Sure. And everyone should know that Joseph is not just the guest today. He's also the audio engineer recording this from his end. So we thank him for that. So I
hope it sounds good.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so I've seen clips of Create Together. I think it's awesome. And I think, and I'm sure you would do a much better job explaining what it is and how people can get involved.
Sure. Well, I've just found that during this strange time of quarantine and isolation, that it's been really helpful for me to just stay creative, do something creative every day. But for me, it can be hard to do that alone. Just, you know, staring at a blank page and be like, now I will write.
Or, right.
You know, now I'm going to make a song, or like, you know, that can be tough. I grew up in more collaborative environments, you know, on sets, on movie sets or shows, et cetera. I really feed off creative energy of other people. And so I actually, years and years ago, I started this community that's all about creative collaboration, and it's called Hit Record. And in this moment where so many people are home, and of course not everybody gets to stay at home, but those of us who are lucky enough to stay at home, our community at Hit Record has really kind of, it's been a bittersweet silver lining to see people sort of rise to the occasion and cope with everything that's going on by being creative and doing it together.
Yeah.
And when I say together, I mean, so what goes on Hit Record is people don't just post things they've made on their own and say, hey, look what I made. On Hit Record, people collaborate. People start projects. People contribute to each other's projects. They build off of what one another is doing. And you really find collaborators. And it's a beautiful thing, because as a lot of art and creativity that happens online nowadays is a lot about, hey, world, look what I made.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Lots of great art gets showcased that way, and people find audiences, and that's wonderful. But I love the idea that the internet can be something more than just a way to find an audience. It can be a way to find collaborators, and people can come together and pull off things that they might not have been able to do on their own. And when you do that, you find a really profound human connection with other people, because creating something together with other people is a really intimate, vulnerable, kind of nuanced thing when you have a common purpose and you're trying to make something together. And so that's what we're doing on Hit Record every day. And we have been for years, but in this time in particular, it's taken on this this sort of uplifting and almost like it's for me, proven an antidote to some of the anxiety that this pandemic has caused me. And you can feel that in the community. And so we decided to just make a show documenting that. And so Create Together, we turned it around very quickly. We pitched it to YouTube Originals. They really liked the idea and they bought it. And, you know, the first episode's coming out. I don't know when this podcast is going to come out, but the first episode's coming out in May. We just started making the show at the end of April. And they're 6 10-minute episodes, and it's just going to be telling stories of people doing this, of people finding other people online and working on all kinds of creative projects and doing it together, making short films or songs or other kind of art, and the connection that you get, and how that can kind of fight the isolation that we're all feeling.
I love this entire concept, because, you know, in the best of times, you know, you send out a tweet or you put something on social media that you think is hilarious or whatever, and you get like, you know, no feedback, you get one or two likes, and it is so depressing. It's that feeling of like shouting in an empty room, or, you know, whatever analogy you feel makes sense. But I love the idea that it's not just asking someone to heart something, but to build off of, and that connection that creates for the people who are adding to it, but also the people who's like, wow, this thing that I created inspired someone to like pile on top of it. I think it's so awesome.
That's just the thing. The feedback of collaboration is a whole different beast than the kind of feedback you get, like you said, from a heart or a like. And you know, I'm in the rarefied and privileged position in social media to have lots and lots of followers, or when I post something, there's always hearts and et cetera. And even when there are always hearts and likes and retweets and whatever, it still doesn't feel good to me, because I'm always like, that's all? I should have more. That guy over there has more than I do.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, for me, it's kind of a recipe for anxiety. I find social media to be sort of angst-ridden.
Yeah.
And there are reasons for that, I think. And I'm not the one originating these thoughts. You know, there's a lot of people right now who are beginning to, in the last few years, sit up and raise their hands and say, hey, the business model of some of these dominant social media platforms, the attention economy on which they run, where they're sort of just trying to take as much attention as possible so that they can monetize that attention through data mining and ads, that there's really some problems with what this incentivizes. And, you know, people are having all sorts of things to say about what this is doing to our democracy and what it's potentially going to do to our economy. But I can only speak with expertise, I think, not to those areas, but to what it does to your creativity.
Yeah.
You know, I think the creative spirit is a fragile one. And when you see your own creative process always through the lens of how many followers did I get?
Yeah.
How many likes am I going to get?
Yeah.
If I write this, maybe it'll get more likes. Or if I, you know, make my song sound like that, I might get more followers. This is a poisonous way to think about art. But it's really hard not to think that way if you're subjecting yourself to the addictive user experience that these platforms offer. And addictive is a specific word. They're intentionally addictive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the position you're in, I'm sure, you know, you work so hard on a film or you know, television show, and then to just have to sit back and listen to critics or, you know, the comments and stuff like that must be sometimes drive a person insane, I would guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true, and that's it can be. I mean, look, I wouldn't complain, because I love getting to make movies. But what I love so much about getting to make a movie is the making part.
Yeah,
it's the being on a set and, again, collaborating with other people, figuring something out, having a challenge, being like, oh, this isn't working, let's figure it out together, or having to really, you know, really dig down and find the right feeling so that the scene works. It's those moments of the process itself that I really love and feel so lucky to get to be a part of. When the movie comes out, to be honest, yeah, it's that's never been my favorite part. That part can be a little anxiety inducing. I've never really cherished the, you know, like you say, the sort of, let's see what the box office numbers are. Let's see what the critics say, or let's, you know, let's go to the premiere and like all that stuff. It's really, it's helpful for marketing a film because it gets attention, but it's, I don't think it's really so nourishing for a person's creativity.
Right. You know, perseverance in this industry that you, I mean, you've been in it forever. You started as a kid. I looked on IMDb. I think the first credit I see there is on Murder, She Wrote as Boy Number One. Do you remember that? And did you solve the mystery?
I do remember. Yeah, I did lots of tiny little parts. I would go on auditions every day, and I just loved being on sets. That wasn't my first job, but that just goes to show how much you can trust the information on the internet. but yeah, I grew up doing this. Yeah.
And, you know, we talk to, you know, entrepreneurs who in so many different industries, but, you know, some people just feel like, you know, I'll ask them, you know, if you weren't doing this, what else would you be doing? And they say, nothing. This is the only thing I know how to do or want to do. Do you feel that same way about, you know, creativity and creating art?
No, I'm actually getting a really big kick out of building this company, Hit Record. Which is quite different. I mean, there's overlap with being an artist and running a company, but you know, we now have 40 employees, and building a company and building a you know, a product, a service, is different than making a work of art. And I don't mean to say work of art in some kind of pretentious way. I just mean a movie or a show or just something where you put it out and then you never change it again. It's out there in the world and people like it or they don't like it and that's it. You move on to the next one. Whereas building a company and, you know, an app, a website, and all of the services that go along with that software, it's an ongoing thing. And it's never perfect. It's never done. And you're constantly trying to make it better, make it better, make it better. And it's a really different creative process that I am actually quite enjoying.
So that's awesome. So I'd love to hear more about, like, you know, how would you describe your kind of leadership style and how might that differ from, you know, when you're from behind the camera directing a film?
Well, when I've directed a film, my approach is basically I like to attend to every single detail. And of course, you can't, and you have to empower your department heads, your production designer, your cinematographer, et cetera. I can't set every light. I can't make every single, you know, decision about every element of set decoration, et cetera. But I don't stop myself from just getting completely nitpicky about every single thing. Mm. Whereas running a company day to day, you can't do that. There's actually so much more going on because, again, building an ongoing service like Hit Record, if we're talking about it, you know, in terms of what an entrepreneur is, like, building an ongoing, there's so many more elements in play than what is in play when you're making a movie. When you're making a movie, it's a 90-minute movie. It's all just within that frame. What do you see and what do you hear for those 90 minutes? And it's actually kind of narrow. I mean, of course, you can do infinite things, and that's the beauty of art, but it makes sense to take sort of an auteur's approach. And my heroes as an artist, as filmmakers, are those kind of quote-unquote auteurs, whether you want to talk about, you know, Hitchcock or Fellini or the Coen brothers or whoever else. And so that's how I like to approach filmmaking. You can't be an auteur when you're running a company like Hit Record. And I've discovered this the hard way. And I think for years, you know, the company's been going on for years. I did try to approach it like that. Mm. And I think it was really cool. And we were operating more as a production company. I had a great time. And I think we did a lot of great things. We made some beautiful art. We published books. We put out records. We made a TV show. We won an Emmy. All with me sort of approaching it more as that kind of, I'm the director of this production company. But what we found as a production company was there was a limit to how many people we could include in our collaborative production. Mm. We found that we couldn't be as inclusive as we wanted to be. Lots of people would come and contribute to, as an example, a TV show we were making. And we could only include so many of those contributions in the final episodes that we delivered. And that meant that a number of those contributors felt like, oh, I didn't make it. And that was never what we wanted.
Sure.
We started thinking, how could we solve this riddle of not having this moment where not everybody gets to be included? How could we genuinely say, hey, everybody is welcome to come be a part of collaborative creativity? And we realized, well, it can't always be us leading these collaborative projects.
Right.
So what if we take what we've learned doing these collaborative projects and we build tools and empower anybody to come start their own projects and lead their own projects, find the collaborators they need to finish what they started. And that's really where we started leaning into the technology. Because before that, we had a modest website. We had just a small, very, very small team
right.
of valiant engineers that built what we asked them to build, but we didn't have a single product hire. We didn't know what a KPI was. We weren't tracking anything. We were approaching it like artists, and there was something really cool about that again, but the downside was a lot of people got left out. And so in the last couple of years, we've taken a different approach, and we figured out, okay, here's what it would look like if we built sort of this decentralized platform around our production company. We would need much better technology. We would need to hire a proper product and tech team. And we raised money from Silicon Valley investors. It would have been easier to raise money in right. Hollywood, but we didn't need the connections and guidance from Hollywood investors. We needed the connections and guidance from proper tech investors. And so we raised money from Javelin Ventures, Crosslink Capital, Advancit, some, you know, great Silicon Valley investors who were, you know, sitting on boards of Masterclass or Casper, Thumbtack, Postmates, et cetera. We managed to hire a wonderful product and tech team, some great product and tech leadership. And we've been focusing on building those tools and making the process that we sort of honed over the years as a production company much more accessible and decentralized. And it's been, like I said, and maybe you could tell, like it's been really fascinating and for me and fun and challenging and daunting and sometimes frustrating, but I've really enjoyed it. And yeah, it's different. It's different than just, it's different than making art.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, everything you just said, I think is, there's such great advice in there, which is, you know, you have this vision of this thing and then you have to kind of put it, you know, in terms of business, you have this vision and you have to see how it's living up to what your vision is. And then you have to be willing to say, okay, this isn't quite what I thought. How do we go back to the drawing board? How do we solve these problems? How do we reach out to people who really know what they're talking about and get some great mentorship and advice? So I think everything you just said in that little block, you should write a book based on that paragraph, because I think that's amazing business advice.
That would be fun.
I get a cut of that, having suggested that. But I know
of course.
Yeah. You know, I know we're running out of time here, but I did want to ask, you know, just for people who are inspired by what they heard, you know, how can they take part and hit record? How can they get involved?
Yeah, simple. Just download our app. That's the best way. You can also come to our website, but I'm particularly proud of our mobile app, and you'll find right away that it's different than your typical mobile app for art and creativity. When you open our app, you don't land on a stream of content to consume. You land on a stream of projects that you can get involved with.
Mm.
And those projects are started by other people who are looking for collaborators. And so, you know, back to the point you made of shouting into the void, when you post something on the internet, you do some writing and be like, okay, here, world, here's what I wrote.
Yep.
What do you think? And the best you can really hope for is a comment or a like or, you know, whatever. When you contribute to someone else's project, it's a very different experience. There's someone on the other end who's looking for your contribution. And yeah, right now we're making this show. So everything going on in our community has the potential to end up on this show. But we really don't emphasize, hey, you can make it on the show. Mm-hmm. I find that if that's your... if that's the way you approach art and creativity, is that sort of results oriented, hey, I hope I make it big. It's going to always be disappointing. And I say that as someone who's been lucky enough to enjoy some amount of that kind of success where people are like, oh, you're, you know, this, that, you're a hit, you're a, you know, blah, blah, blah. I can say from my experience, that's never what's really satisfying.
Yeah.
I never have gotten to a point where like I got enough of that kind of feedback where people are like, you're big or blah, you're blah, you're mm-hmm. and felt like, okay, good. I made it. I'm satisfied. It never feels the same way as the satisfaction I get when I take my focus off of those kinds of external results and put my focus on just the inherent rewards of the creative process itself. That's when I get really jazzed and I get really satisfied. I'm trying to make something and then I find it and like, there it is. That's working. And for me, that happens a lot better when I'm doing it together with other people.
I don't know, Joseph. I don't sense that you're very passionate about this. I'm not getting that from you.
Don't they say that's what you need for an entrepreneur? Isn't this called entrepreneur, this
right.
outfit you're working for?
Yeah.
That's the number one requirement for an entrepreneur, right?
That's our episode, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Get a Real Job comes out every Tuesday. So be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you harvest your favorite podcasts. Leave us a review. Give us a share. Don't make me beg, people. Go to entrepreneur.com for new episodes of this and to listen to our other great podcasts. Thanks.